Good afternoon, and welcome to this episode of the AdDrop Podcast. As we continue our spin through the world of college football today, head down to the great state of Georgia. With me is the coach of Berry College Football, Tony Concessi. Coach, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Terrence.
Now, Harrison City, Pennsylvania. That is one of the smallest towns. Being from the East Coast, I never, heard of it. It's outside of Pittsburgh. How did being a Pittsburgh area native shape your football path?
That's an easy question to answer. That's in the DNA in Pittsburgh. It's a blue collar town. Football's big there. You can go through sometimes down in Georgia. I got to educate some of our guys because they think football was started down here in the Southeast, which it is really good. But I got to educate them on the Joe Namaths and the Joe Montanas and the Tony Dorsetts and the Dan Marinos and the Johnny Unitases and all those guys, Darrell Revis, Aaron Donald,
Jim
all
Kelly,
from the Pittsburgh area.
Joe Montana, all these just long lists. Now, you went to Grove City. Now, it's for those who fans are a little bit over my age, they remember Grove City as far as being having one of the best backs in college football, probably at the same time you played in RJ Bowers. What was the vibe like around that team during your tenure in Grove City?
Well, I'll never forget it. I was a 19-year-old sophomore when RJ was a 23-year-old freshman. He played our offensive line coach at the time. Was his high school head coach. So that was the connection with Grove City, and he was playing minor league baseball and had a clause in his contract. I think he was up in double A, got injured, ended up with the clause in his contract that would pay for his schooling. So he ended up at Grove City. So here we get I'm rolling as a sophomore, and we get a back that's 6'1", 230 pounds, and we're still running the wing T. And we had him, another back that was like 240, and another back that was about 220. That was in a different era of football. But let's just say we got really good really quick when he came on board.
Now, you are the first coach and the only coach that Barry has ever known football. What does that feel like to be able to start a program and just kind of say you built it from the ground up?
I like to refer to it, I'm the winningest coach in Berry college football history.
There it is.
Also the most losses too. I was blessed to get this job. I can't remember. There's an unbelievable amount of candidates for the job. I think the good Lord just blessed me with the opportunity here. Prior to coming to Berry, I was a defensive coordinator at LaGrange College, which is 2 hours south of here. And I think that was a big part of me getting the job was, LaGrange was a startup program too at the Division III level. So I had connections in the state. We enjoyed some success at LaGrange. And, when my wife and I visited on campus, we fell in love with this place. It's the largest campus in the world. It has over 27,400 plus acres.
Wow.
It's a great school academically. One of the things we're probably that helps our program as much as anything is if you drew a 3 hour radius around Rome, Georgia, you're hitting some of the best football in the country. So we're certainly fortunate in our backyard to have some great football in this state and in the surrounding states. So it's been a fun ride, and I've been here almost 11 full years now. So we just finished our 10th season of playing football. So it's been a fun ride so far.
What was the culture shock going like going from the Pittsburgh area to down south? Like, there's different cultures. How were you able to acclimate yourself to the different surroundings?
Yeah, I don't mean to offend the New England people on the that might be listening, but I had one stop before I came down south. So I grew up in Western PA, coached at Allegheny College, then spent 1 year up at Bowdoin up in Maine. Great school, had a great experience up there. But that was probably more of a culture shock going from Western PA to New England, because Pittsburgh area, that's kind of more Midwest. I think from a culture standpoint, New England's certainly a different culture. It probably wasn't as big of a change down here, but you realize pretty quickly, when you talked about, we opened the show and talked about football in Western PA. Football's certainly a religion down here. And the interesting thing when I moved down is just the college athletics and specifically college football is so much bigger down here than it was up in the northeast. And the other thing that we're fortunate about is like most of the high school coaches in the state of Georgia, they don't teach class. If they do, it'll be weight training. Football is big up down here, and they certainly come well prepared when they get to college.
If you could go back to your first day as an assistant on your first assistant job, what advice would you give yourself as far as looking into the future and say, look, I've seen what's going to happen, do this?
100% put your head down and go to work. Learn as much as you can. And I think, and I remind our guys all the time, if you do a great job and you fill your cup with a bunch of knowledge, people are going to find you. If guys are constantly on the websites looking for their next job, nobody wants to, ultimately nobody wants to hire those job those guys. And what are you really learning? I felt like it took me about 3, 4, 5 years to know enough to realize, man, I don't know anything, if you know what I mean. There's so much to learn, not just from an X's and O's standpoint, but in our profession, especially of college football. I think the most important thing we do, other than having relationships with the players that we coach, is recruiting and learning how to recruit, learning how to talk to recruits, learning how to talk to parents, learning how to ask the right questions. That's such a huge part of it, let alone the X's and O's and how to be a professional and all that other thing, all the other things that go on with it. But just putting your head down and learning as much as you can, and trying to be around great people that you can learn from too. And I was fortunate through the years that I was around a lot of good people.
When we come back from break, I want to discuss your coaching philosophy and kind of look into this season's team and kind of get your vibe on the out the your outlook on the season.
Sure.
But that's after break. You're listening to the Ad Drop Podcast on the FPC Radio Network. We are back with Ad Drop Podcast. Terrence Biggs, the head coach of Berry College Football, Tony Konchesky. Coach, being from Western PA, it is known for being not just talent rich as far as football, but a tough area. Not the best weather. Things look kind of gray in the sky. It's an atmosphere that breeds toughness. How have you managed to take your upbringing and background and kind of transfer it into the mentality of this team?
Well, I think growing up, you're a product of your environment, and I think you're what you're getting at there, Terrence. And growing up in Pittsburgh, being a big fan of the Pittsburgh Steelers. I ended up being a defensive player through most of my high school career and all through college. So I was, and I've done nothing but coach on defense. I mean, I wish if I can go back to kind of answer one of your previous questions, I wish I had some experience if it weren't for just a couple years on offense. But all of my experience has been on defense. So I think, the game of football has changed certainly a lot, but there's still a physicality component to it. And I still think if you play really good defense, you don't turn the ball over on offense, you win the line of scrimmage. I still think those attributes still ring true to this day. So I think that's probably a product of my upbringing in Western Pennsylvania that we've been fortunate that we've won a lot of games here at Berry. And that's not to say that we can't put up some points, and we've had some amazing receivers and offensive skill players here through the years. But I still think it goes down to having a certain amount of toughness and a certain amount of physicality. And to be elite, it takes more than just talent. It certainly takes toughness.
One of the things I've definitely looked at is when you look up and down the roster that you have done an excellent job in recruiting Georgia, which is a competitive recruit because of so many schools around that want the Georgia talent. How have you managed to be able to stay competitive as far as being on the recruiting trail with other schools and not just in the area, but all over the Southeast?
Well, number one, we have a great product to sell. I mean, it starts with that. And through the years, we think it's really important to build relationships with the high school coaches. Oftentimes, they're a big part of the decision-making process. So we've worked hard through the years to develop good relationships all throughout the state. And again, not just the state, but the surrounding area too. But at the end of the day, 75% of our roster is from the state of Georgia. We're fortunate that we can we can have a lot of success, you know, with those numbers. So I think that's first and foremost is establishing that relationship with the high school coaches, and we have a great product to sell. And you know, for us, we don't really run into Division III schools as much as you know, with the FCS, the Pioneer Football League, because we're recruiting a certain type of academic kid here. So you know, we run into a lot of those schools a lot. We run into a lot of the FCS preferred walk-ons, you know, some of the high academic FCS schools like the Samfords, the Mercers, the Furmans, the Woffords, and we still certainly run into schools in our conference like, you know, Center Road, Suwanee, Birmingham Southern. So, I mean, it's a competitive environment, but the difference is, Terrence, you know, when I recruited at Allegheny up in Western PA, and I would go into a high school in Pittsburgh, there might be six or seven Division III coaches sitting in the same head coach's office there, trying to talk to the same student athletes here. Yes, it's definitely a highly recruited area, but you just don't have the volume of coaches that you have in certain pockets in the Northeast or certainly in the Midwest.
Now you have three players in Brendan Cade, Josh Rogers, and DeAndre Wilson. With Brendan Cade rushed for 11 touchdowns last year, 6 yards a carry. When you look at his evolution through his years at Baylor, what was the biggest factor in him being able to put it all together?
Well, I mean, obviously the talent component is there, but he's competitive. And one of the reasons why, and Brandon's naturally competitive, but he also has another guy in the backfield and Josh Rogers that they push each other. And it's one of those beautiful scenarios that you love to see in coaching, that they really feed off of one another. They genuinely value that, not just their friendship, but seeing the other's success. And when you have that competition between those two, a friendly competition, that certainly brings out the best in both of them. And not to mention that, you know, our offensive line has certainly progressed. You know, we kind of got wiped out in 2019, where we had a bunch of upperclassmen in the offensive line, and we've kind of been building these guys up for a while. So you got to have the O-line and the tight ends, and obviously you got to have some guys on the outside that, you know, can kind of soften the defense a little bit, and DeAndre is certainly one of those guys.
When you're not in the office, when you're not recruiting, when you're on the field, how do you get away from football?
Terrence, that's a great question. Hopefully, maybe you can give me an answer on that. It's, man, it's sometimes all consuming. And, you know, there's a saying that it takes what it takes. And it takes a lot. It takes a lot of effort to be successful. But, you know, I think trying to stay grounded in my faith as a Christian is a big part of it. And realizing that, you know, sometimes you got to just work some things out on faith. I mean, we can work 24 hours a day if we wanted to as college football coaches. There's no doubt about that. But, you know, I have a beautiful wife that's been an outstanding coach's wife through the years of we've been fortunate. We really haven't moved around a ton, but we certainly have moved, and I'm certainly away from home a lot. But I have three beautiful kids, that an 18-year-old daughter, a 16-year-old son, and a 14-year-old son, and all three of them play athletics and play multiple sports. So if I'm getting away from football in this office, usually it's watching one of them play.
Now, when you and a family go out to eat, what's your favorite place in town to eat and what's on your plate?
Oh wow, that's a good question. There, Rome, Georgia. I don't know if this is a true stat or not, but I've heard this from multiple sources, has the highest per capita of any city in the state of Georgia of eating out. So we got a lot of great restaurants here. I mean, we have multiple colleges, you know, multiple hospitals here. So there's a lot of people to eat out. So there's a lot of great options. Probably one of our favorite options that. Probably put a plug in for it because my daughter works there. There's a place in town called Blossom Hill, and the food's great. I just like the vibe. We are in the South. It kind of has an indoor component to it and has an outdoor component. It's a barbecue place, but they have, you know, they have a putting green, and you can play cornhole out there and ping pong outside, and they have a covered area. So it's just a good vibe too, and it's in downtown Rome. What would be on my plate? probably some type of smoked turkey with Alabama sauce, which is a white sauce that I like. Probably some good southern green beans. I've adapted to the South, man, even though I'm from Pittsburgh. So that would probably be what's on my plate. Although sweet tea, I can't do.
Oh
That's too
no.
sweet for me. Too sweet for me.
What's the one food from home that you miss having?
Oh, I think, not to offend anybody down here, but like we kind of, Konchesky is my last name. There's, you don't, even though that's Polish, I think the Italian food up north in the Pittsburgh area, I probably miss the most. It's different down here. Now we're fortunate that we have a couple of Italian restaurants down here that are really good, but those are hard to find sometimes. So I think that's what I miss. Is kind of the authentic ethnic foods that you can sometimes get in the Northeast or, Midwest.
Last question. Do you think, as someone who I'm not sure if you still follow the Steelers, but is Kenny Pickett the guy to lead them to the back of the playoffs?
That might be the toughest question that you asked. I'm gonna have faith in my man Mike Tomlin. I'm a big fan of Mike Tomlin. I think his strength of how he manages all the different egos in the NFL, and it kind of came out after the fact that when some of those guys moved on from Pittsburgh, you're like, wow, how did he handle all those guys when he was there? So I would put my trust in the head coach, and if the head coach thinks that Kenny Pickett is the dude, then I'm going to trust him in that. That's probably more of a political answer, but I'd like to think so. I mean, the thing that he showed at the end of the year that I think from any quarterback is, what did he do when the game was on the line in the last few minutes? And I think he showed some really good stuff at the end of the year. I don't see a lot of the games until the end of the year, but I saw some great things at the end of the year for sure.
Barry Head football coach Kucheski, thank you so much for joining us on this episode of the AdDrop Podcast.
Well, thank you so much for inviting me. Thanks, Terrence.